Blog Talk Radio.
On Blog Talk Radio Nation, you are tuned into the cutting room floor. I am LeVar. You know, I've got so much to kind of like talk about today, but I'm excited first because I actually did promise you that we would have a surprise guest here today on our show. There's a celebrity in my eyes, but not a celebrity per se that you would find out in Hollywood, but it is actually a dear friend of mine who has agreed to come on the show today so that I am not sounding like a blittering idiot for like the next 30 minutes. And I hope that this is the first of many shows that she can join us on. And she's going to be here today to talk about some of the latest things that's going on out there in the world of Hollywood or in the news or in entertainment, just to kind of provide feedback from the opposite side, because if you do listen to my side for 30 minutes, trust me, this would last about as long as Kim Kardashian's marriage. But my friend Mary is here. And Mary, are you there?
I am.
Ah,
can you hear me okay?
Nice to have you. I can
great.
Hear you
it's
just
great
fine.
To be here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, definitely.
I know. This has been like, you know, kind of like the guys, you know, the guys club for like the last few months. I think the last person that actually sat here and co-hosted with me was actually Paige Monroe, which was like a couple of months ago. So it's always good to have a voice on the other end. Plus, I mean, you know, the doctors always tell me it's kind of good that there's somebody there to talk to me instead of me talking by myself.
Oh, it's only the voices in your head, LeVar.
Yeah, I know. But I'm going to get right into everything that's kind of going on because there's a lot of stuff to cover today. Plus, if we have time, if I don't get to it, we'll post it on our Twitter page. But the SMH Award of the Week, and for those who don't know what SMH is, which I'm surprised that people still don't, it's shaking my head. A story in which it will probably, by the time you finish reading it, will leave you shaking your head. And because I know that 30 minutes goes by quick on this show, if we don't get to it, the first news and comment trending top five list of the week, we'll have that on our Twitter page. If not, I will definitely tell you what is definitely trending. But Mary, want to start first. Of course, the big story this week, I think, which has trumped everything, which is sad itself, the Kim Kardashian fiasco, as we call it. Now,
yes.
I'm not naive. And when this first happened on Monday, you know, my first thing was, and for people who've been listening to the show, I said that the wedding was not going to last a year, let alone 6 months. I mean, I don't like being right in that retrospect, but there's been a lot of stuff here lately, and I'm not sure what your take on this is, but I guess in coming from you, and I guess it's different for guys because they're like, oh, they got divorced. Woo, she's single. But I guess, you know, as a woman, if you're watching this whole thing, who is to blame for this from what you've seen? And I guess also, you know, do you think, or are you going with the majority here in which we're all pretty much thinking sham?
Yes and no. I believe that, unfortunately, I don't think anybody's to blame. I think that part of this is from what I read something on Twitter from Kim saying that she just got caught up in the moment. And I can understand that feeling of having that, like, hey, I'm engaged. Oh, when's the wedding? Oh, what are you going to do? And what are you wearing? And all of those questions that come up when somebody's engaged to someone else. And if something started to go wrong close to or right before the wedding, it's hard to shut that machine off. So I kind of see where she could be caught up in it. Part of me is saying, okay, I understand that. But I still think that part of it was a lot of, I have to do this because I'm on TV. I have to do this because I've announced it. And that have to never works in a marriage. ever. So I didn't think it was going to last very long ever either.
But they're all celebrities. Kim's been through this before, so don't you think she should have known that if there were warning signs in the marriage that, I mean, even I know if there's, but see, because then that's where it leads me to believe that money probably was a little bit more of a trump card here than love, because I was like, you know, if she knew, that, and I think she said that there were some signs before then or leading up to, I mean, I don't think we're going to be mad at her for not wasting 2 hours of our lives in a key special if there was not a wedding. I mean, heck, they could have put 2 hours of maybe the breakup before the wedding. Where did Kim disappear to?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. Money was probably a big deal. I also think that she... And this is going to sound so bad, so Kim, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but I don't think she has a brain of her own sometimes. She lets the, like I said, the machine, she lets her handlers handle her. And for some reason, that makes me lose a little respect for her as a woman, because she needs to be able to say, you know what, this isn't working. I know that we have all these things going on, but it's not working, and it should have stopped then. And instead of speaking up, she went through with it, and now she's getting the blowback.
Is it all well deserved?
Some of it, yes. Not all of it. Some of the reports out there being, you know, oh, she earned millions and millions of dollars on this, and she just wanted the money. Some of that's a little harsh. You don't know what was going on in the background. But some of it, yeah, absolutely, she deserves some of it because of the, like I said, she didn't have a brain at that point. She didn't speak her mind, and now she's going to have to deal with that fallout.
Somehow I have a feeling Mom is really to blame in the back of this, too, when all is said and done. But that's just me.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mom was pushing a lot of that. She's got two other daughters that have serious relationships. One of them is absolutely not getting married at this point. So it's kind of a lot of that pushing there. And with sisters, I know that feeling of not comparison, but that just that push of, hey, you know, your sister's married. You have to be able to stand on your own 2 feet as an individual. And she obviously, at this point, if that really is what the case was, she got caught up in the moment, she obviously can't stand on her own 2 feet. And that's not a good sign.
No, it's not. Because now this means that this is Kim's second marriage that has now come and gone. And then you look back at the history, but now... I hope for Kim she has learned her lesson and she will finally return my phone call and accept my offer for a date.
I'm surprised
and
she hasn't
yet. The one
yet.
I can think of a reason why, but I did see something today which was kind of disturbing, and I hope that this is not going to happen. I hope that this rumor gets shut down long before anything else, but they were saying that because of all this happening, that Kim should be the next Bachelorette. I really hope that that does not happen. Don't want to
I
see that
can only
happen.
See bad
Sorry.
Things coming from that. Bad, bad things.
I think if you do something like, if you do something like that type of show, you're going to have like a bunch of rich guys who have money. It just can't be your normal Joe Blow who is a doctor. In some state, I mean, he's going to have to be making some millions of dollars a year. It's going to have to be famous people, literally. I don't even know if you can do it with, like, the normal run-of-the-mill person, you know?
I think, though, if she really, if that rumor is true, oh, God, I hope not, that's bad juju. If she really is going to go through with that, I think she would win a lot of fans back to her side and her image that she's got out there if she did do the regular jail blow to show that it's not about the money. Because at this point, that's the biggest thing about the whole sham of a marriage that was out there. It's about the money. So a Joe Blow would probably ease some of that. Some of it would be very, very fake. And a lot of people can see through that. But that would be an interesting combo to see her actually find somebody that would actually treat her well, regardless of the money issue.
Well, Kim, best of luck, and like we said, I hope she returns my phone call, so we'll see if that actually happens. I'll keep you all updated if that does happen, but on to some other things. Now, you know, for those who have not, I mean, they've never seen you, but I will say, and I will speak for any guy, that my friend Mary is a very attractive woman. So, with that being said, there has been a recent Wall Street Journal article Which is
about
pretty
me,
much,
of course.
I mean, I'm going to go into this, but an economics professor at the University of Texas in Austin has a brand new book in which it's called Beauty Pays, Why Attractive People Are More Successful. And according to his research, attractive people are likely to earn an average of 3 to 4% more than a person with below average looks. That adds up to about $230,000 more over a lifetime for the typical good-looking person. And even an average working looking worker is likely to make $140,000 more of a lifetime than an ugly worker. As in the interview, he says that there are two reasons why good looks are even more influential for men's earnings than for women's. He says, first, not as many women work for pay as men, and then that if you aren't attractive and you know you're going to be penalized for that, and if you have an option to stay out of the job market, and he says, you as a woman may choose not to bear that pain. Also, women in general are paid less than men. Part of it is that they channel themselves into different occupations, and part of it is pure discrimination. And it kind of just goes on, in which he literally says that if you are involved in something in which you know that looks are going to matter, you're better off not going into it. Like for yours truly, who would love to be working on television, I know that I'm not going to get hired. He says,
don't
be a TV broadcaster. If you go into an occupation where it looks matter a lot, this is what he says. He said, don't be a movie actor if you know that, you know, looks are going to matter. And then when they asked him, are there examples of occupations where you don't have to be beautiful? He says, you would think that you would find examples of occupations where being unattractive wouldn't hurt you at all. But in everyone he looked at, being better looking helps you. So, true or false, well, I guess I would say for you as a good-looking person, there's pretty much true. Do you find on the job scene or whatever jobs you've worked in that usually it's the attractive person that gets always promoted ahead over the person who may be average looking?
No, I don't. Well, I disagree with the attractive person, not attractive person in this phone call. I agree that if you're going in for an interview, it's going to be better if you feel more attractive. I don't think it's about the attractiveness of a person, only because that's so subjective. What I find attractive, you may find horrendous. What I find horrendous, you might think is the best thing in sliced bread. It's a very subjective kind of market. It's the attitude that goes along with it. And you can see that. I mean, anybody can test this out. Go out, dress it to the nines, and hold your head up high and be confident that you look sexy. And see what that kind of reaction from people are compared to when you go out in jeans and a T-shirt and feel like you are, you know, lower than dirt. That it's the confidence that comes across. And so that because of that confidence, I think they do get hired because they already feel like they are more attractive. So it's more along that attitude than it is the actual attractiveness of a person. Is that a non-answer?
Yeah, it was a non-answer. I would say it's going to sound bad, but I guess I'll give some of what he's saying the truth. Though, because let's be honest, if you look at people on TV, a lot of them, it is about looks. Now it is.
Yes.
I think back in the day.
You're absolutely correct.
You know, back in the day, 60s,
70s. And news and things that are in the public eye, you're absolutely correct. I mean, who was it that had the Katie Couric when she got her hair done? And that was such a big deal. It was one of those things where, yeah, that attractiveness quality does come across, but there's also people out there that I look at and go, wow, he's on TV? That's amazing. So, you know.
For that, I'm going to call you Creston because that actually, you know, you were able to tell our next story when you mentioned hair. And going from looks into hair and you being a woman with long hair, there is a couple of stories out that's quite interesting. Actress Michelle Williams, for those of you who don't know her, what was she on? Dawson's Creek, right?
Mm-hmm. Dawson's Creek, Heath Ledger's wife. Were they married? I believe they were.
No, I don't. I thought not. I don't know. I don't think they were.
I know that
were
he
they
has
one
his
point
baby.
In his life?
Baby,
yeah,
baby mama, we'll go with that.
Yeah, and actually I think she mentioned his name, which was rare in an interview, but she said in an interview the other day that when she debuted her current cropped haircut, of course, you know, it's now cut really low, when she debuted it, that a lot of men kind of gave her a backlash over that, and that she says in quote, this is from her interview with Elle UK in her December issue, she says, I've really grown into it. I feel like myself with short hair, and it's been a really long time since I've had long hair, 5 years. Of course, the only people who like it are gay men and my girlfriends. Straight men across the board are not into this hair. I cut it for the one straight man who has ever liked short hair, and I wear it in memorial of somebody who really loved it. They said, knowing that the cut is for Heath Ledger, they said, now how could you not love the haircut? But that leads into another story this week in which, if for those of you who know, I usually follow the fashion and beauty over on shine.yahoo, according to a study, Dove surveyed 1,000 women aged 18 to 65 in the U.S. and found that only 7% of women really love their hair. And it says that's such a small number considering the amount of time and money that ladies spend on making their hair, you know, look the way it looks. Also, other stats from the survey, and I'll get your opinion on this in a second here, that 67% of women say that their unpredictable hair has a mind of its own. 20% say that they have skipped a social function because of a bad hair day. 45% feel that their hair routine is more important than eating breakfast. 39% care more about doing their hair than applying makeup. 35% would spend extra time on their hair than get extra sleep. And 58% use at least 3 hair products a day to style their hair. So, with that 7%, are you happy or unhappy with your hair?
I absolutely love my hair. There are days when I wish I could change it. I'm not gonna lie. But I absolutely love my hair. I can wear it short. I can wear it long. I can do what I need to do with it. It comes down to, I think, with a lot of women, they want what they can't have. If you have curly hair, you want straight hair. If you have straight hair and it doesn't curl, you want curly hair. A lot of that comes into play. And I'm part of the other percentages that don't do those things. So for me, because I like my hair, is probably why I'm in that other percentage. I don't use 3 products in my hair. I think I use 1, if that. I'm a wash-and-go girl. The sleep, I'll take sleep over hair on a daily basis. Food, absolutely. I love my, you know, my chicken and my eggs and bacon. And I'll eat. what was the other? There was a couple other ones in there. As the social function, I'll go. You know,
yes.
My hair is not unruly.
Would you have to skip a social function though?
Would I skip? No. No.
Yeah.
No,
because
no,
your
no.
Hair did not look right.
I've gone to social functions with hair that should not have gone. but it's not about the hair. I mean, as much as it is about the hair, it's not about the hair. It's about having a good time. That's what the social function is supposed to be about. And, again, that comes across with the attitude that you carry. If you absolutely hate your hair, then your hair is going to be a bad hair day 95% of the time. I think a lot of that is a lot of attitude. As for men not liking short hair, I'm sorry. I cut my hair short every once in a while. I'll grow it long. I'll cut it short again and donate the long hair to, like, Locks of Love. It's hair. It grows back. And if it doesn't grow back, then it doesn't grow back. You know, some men have the problem not having it grow back, I guess. But at least for me, at this time in my life, my hair grows back. So it's okay to cut it. If you don't like me with short hair and you only like me with long hair, then I don't need you in my life, you know. It's about what I feel and it's about what I love. And I love Michelle's haircut. She's gorgeous with long hair. She's gorgeous with short hair. I remember her on Dawson's Creek. It was short. And when she had it long, it was beautiful. I think hair is overrated. The only thing that I do agree with is the makeup versus the hair time, but that's because I have more hair than face. So I do spend more time on my hair than my makeup.
Yeah, but you know, it's almost like that whole thing where it was, and now I'm like drawing blanks, which is not good, but it was like that actress from that one show at that time, the CW was that show, and it's probably gonna come to me after the show is over. But mm-hmm. when she cut her hair, that was when the ratings kind of like just dropped. People, I think it was Felicity or something like that. But when she cut
mm-hmm.
her hair,
oh yeah, yeah, when she got that quaff, yeah.
Yeah, I was just
and
like,
she was cute.
People couldn't
believe it. She was cute. She could pull
it
off. Some people cannot pull off short hair. I will say that. And it does depend on your face. There are people that are out there that have this long hair. It's not beautiful. It's not healthy. It's not something I would want to run a brush through. And they should not be having that long hair. There are other people out there that cannot carry short hair at all. They cut their hair off, and then they have like a bobblehead, for lack of a better term. But so you really do have to find what's good for you. Like I said, I'm a wash and go girl, so it's easy for me to go, nope, I'm going short now because I'm just tired of drying my hair or what have you. But then I can carry long hair as well. I have a very round face, so it's okay. But yeah, there are times when that person should not have had short hair. There are times when that person should not have long hair. I think it's a trend right now to have long hair because there was a trend for short hair for a very long time. Selma,
yes.
Not Selma. There was what's her name?
Halle Berry.
Now I'm drawing a blank. But there was an actress that had really short hair, dark hair, and I could see her face too. It'll come to me later. But she had really short hair, and I absolutely loved it. And I was like, wow, that takes a lot of guts to go out there with really short hair. Halle Berry. She can carry short hair.
Yeah.
She could be bald,
yep.
and people would love her. So, but I think the trend right now is the whole mermaid hair. It needs to be down to the middle of my back and be able to cover up when I'm in a photo that should not be out on the internet. You know, I think that's the trend now, and it's the people that buck that trend that tend to get the attention of, well, men don't like short hair. All you need is enough to grab.
that's what I say. I love that. I love that right there. All you need is enough to grab. But I'm going to quickly prance away from that one and go to something else before this turns into a mature audience conversation. But in Florida, we got a couple minutes of this story, but I want to get your opinion because you are the mother of a young lady in school. And
mm-hmm.
this story comes from out of Florida, where a 14-year-old Florida student who hugged his friend was suspended as a result of the school's zero-tolerance, no-hugging policy. Nick Martinez said he gave a quick hug to his best friend, a female student, between classes. And that public display of affection was spotted by the principal. The school's about not too far from Orlando. And the principal said he believed the hug was innocent, but he brought the two students to the school's dean, who penalized him with in-school suspensions. According to their student handbook, students can receive a one-day out-of-school suspension for kissing, while students caught hugging or hand-holding are penalized with a dean's detention or suspension. And school administrators said a committee of parents approved the no-hugging policy years ago and that there aren't plans to change it anytime soon. Now, that school strict policy stipulates there is no difference between an unwanted hug or sexual harassment and a hug between friends. And a spokesman for the county school said the school's focus is on learning, therefore we cannot discriminate or make an opinion on what is an appropriate hug, what's not an appropriate hug, and what you may think is appropriate, another person may view as inappropriate. And according to Nick, when they talked to him, he said, a lot of friends are hugging, I just happen to be the one caught doing it. Honestly, I didn't know because I didn't think that hugging was a bad thing. I didn't know you could get suspended for it. And his mom said she planned to ask the school's board to change the policy. Now, we've got a couple minutes of the story, but is it something that, you know, as a mom, I guess, is it something that you agree with the school suspension, or is it kind of like the wussing down of America, and it's like, get over it. He hugged his friend. It was a friend, and it wasn't an unwanted hug.
Yes to both. Is it fair that he got suspended? Yes, because it's in the handbook. Ignorance of the handbook excuses no one. Just because I didn't know it was in there, it's still in there. It's a rule, and it has to be enforced. Should he serve that suspension, or if he has already done so? Yeah, because that's the rule. That's in the handbook. It's already written down, and if you're going to teach your kids to do anything, you should follow the rules. Do I think the rule is a good rule? No. I get where you can't make a discrimination between a hug and PDA. Because, you know, where do you draw the line? I get that. But then in the same token, I hug people all the time. I mean, I hug my daughter and kiss her on the cheek on the way into school. Should my daughter get suspended because she gave me a kiss? No. Should I stop and not hug another child that knows me as, you know, my daughter's mom, as I've now been named, that, you know, if they come up and run up and give me a hug, should that child get into trouble? Am I causing harassment? No. There's a line there. I think the problem is that it got to the point, I don't think it's wussing down of America. I think it's more along the lines of people aren't taking responsibility. A lot of parents... Yeah. Over the last few years, and since I was in high school, I'm sure, at least in college, that a lot of parents have stopped parenting during the day. Like, well, my kid's at school, I'm at work, school will take care of it. That's not the truth, though. It's your job as a parent. And some of these, like, the teen moms and that stuff just drives me crazy because it's like, you know, that's why you think the school should take care of them. Because you're not ready to take care of them, because you're not ready to take care of yourself. And therein lies that quandary.
Yeah, I agree. I think the school needs to probably look at that policy a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, he's got to, if it is a rule, then he's got to serve it. We've got 3 minutes, but I want to kind of get through, and we're not going to have time to talk about this story, but I want to get through my shaking my head award of the week. This is a gentleman, and I'm pretty sure anybody would, this comes from the Huffington Post. But long story short, there was a photographer who goes back as far as years ago, and the guys are both now in their 80s, and they passed the thing on to their kids. Meanwhile, comes into play a gentleman by the name, his name is Todd Rivas, and he had a wedding to his wife on December 28th of 2003. Now he is suing the original founders, who are both now in their 80s, for $4,100 for the cost of photography, plus $48,000 to bring back the principal attendees and recreate the wedding so that new photos can be taken, because he was not happy with the photos that were originally taken. What he failed to disclose in the legal papers is that he got divorced in 2008, and he doesn't know the address of his ex-wife, who returned to her native Latvia. Yes, if it all sounds weird, it's just a long, long, drawn-out story. We'll post that story to our... page on Twitter, and if we have time, maybe next week we'll talk about this, because it just is too good to be true. But it gets my Shaking My Head Award of the Week. And also on Twitter, you will find our trending top five, and I did not mention it, and I failed to mention it, but you can find us on Facebook at News and Comment, Blog Talk Radio with Levar Evans, or on Twitter at twitter.com/newscommentetr. And we've got 90 seconds to go, and Mary, I could not thank you enough for coming by. Hey, you know, you're free to come by every week when you want to come by. I'd love to have you.
Oh, I'd love to do it.
This went by so quick.
I know.
So, no, we're definitely, I've got a lot more. We left stories out this week, and we even left a particular person out this week who I don't think it's really going to hurt us or hurt him too much. But, yeah, I've got like a couple more stories, and we've actually got a lot of other great things. So I'll work on getting Mary back here next week. So, the clock on the wall is telling us we are out of time. And, oh, I cannot be remiss that we are coming up soon on our first anniversary. So starting today on Twitter, I will be posting some of our best of shows. We're supposed to start earlier this week, but due to a slip in my own brain, forgot that this was the week I was starting. So we'll start posting our best of shows from our first year of broadcasting, and then the anniversary will be next Saturday. I'll have a special broadcast in. And so until next we meet, I am Levar, and for Mary, thank you so much for joining us on The Cutting Room Floor, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
See you.